Good morning. Yeah, good to see you guys as well, or all of y'all. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and so loving. As we sing about your power and how you give that power, you extend that power to us. You work in our lives. You work in our hearts. And now as we open your word and we read, we pray, God, that your word is, as you have promised, would indeed be living and powerful. That you would help me explain well, but that you would speak through the words that we read from the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, flip over to Psalm 55. And I know it's the most boring introduction to a sermon is to say, flip to this verse, but here we are. Flip to Psalm 55. Today we get to read a story of rescue, a story of betrayal and rescue in the same story. It's a good story. So read Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me. What an interesting phrase. They drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. So he's asking God, he's pleading with God to rescue him. And then continue at verse 4, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Depression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. So he's in trouble, and he's speaking in a song poetically to God, but he's overwhelmed. He doesn't see any way out. He doesn't see any escape. He doesn't have very much hope, if any, at all. Look at verse 12. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, that I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. So the worst part of everything for David, so this is a betrayal. All of this danger and horror that he's living doesn't come from one of the many enemies that he had. He was used to that. But from an intimate friend, he worshiped with this person together. He doesn't say who he's talking about, right? So there were a lot of people that betrayed David. Saul, from the beginning of David's story, David would help him, and Saul would constantly try to kill him, even while he was helping him, while he was singing to him. His son, Amnon, with the rape, and then his other brother killing him, and against his father's wishes. There was his nephew, the general Joab, who betrayed David twice by killing other people who were important to David. I don't think it's talking about that one, but he was betrayed multiple times by people who were dear to him. His son Absalom, who rebelled against him and tried to win over the people to himself and take the throne away from his father, and then turn around and eventually David would have been killed. I think that's the one it was talking about. I don't know. He was talking about a betrayal by someone very near to him. And that betrayal seems to amplify the danger and the pain that David is feeling in this moment. And then look at how he responds to that betrayal and that enormous danger that he's in. Psalm 55, verse 16. But I call to God. The Lord will save me evening and morning, and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change, you do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord. And so this is a command for us, but it's almost as if David was speaking to himself in this moment. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved, but you, O God, will cast them down in the pit of destruction. Men of treachery, blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. He looks to God to be rescued. He asks God to free him from death and danger. He trusts in God for his rescue. And the reason that he's able to do that is because of this. And this is our big idea for today. We see it in this psalm, and we'll see it throughout the psalms. God rescues his children. God is the great rescuer who can truly rescue us from danger and from death. And David knew that. That's why repeatedly in the Psalms we see over and over again, well, that's repeatedly, David crying out to God in his need and asking to be rescued. Go to Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips or from a deceitful tongue. God rescues his children. David asking to be rescued. There's a little bit of a problem as we read this for us, because this doesn't always connect as easily with our heart, this idea of being rescued by God. It's interesting. It's definitely interesting to see in David's life. Maybe he's running out of the city and Absalom is taking over the city, and he knows he'll soon come after him with his own army. And we see that in the drama of David's life. We see his need for rescue, but how do we connect that with our lives? Because I don't live with that kind of life and death drama that surrounded David. God rescues his children, but my problem with that idea is that many times we don't think we need to be rescued. We live normal lives. We don't have a bunch of life and death drama. That's why we watch movies. We get it there. Our lives are pretty drab and dull, aren't they? Not like David. The reality is we do need to be rescued. There is mortal danger inside of each one of us, and there is an eternal death that is always waiting for us at the end. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It describes this danger. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Venom of asps was under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then jump down to verse 23. For all have sinned, that's disobeyed the king, that's rebelled against God and fall short of the glory of God. And I would add, in whose image we were created to reflect his glory. Look at Romans chapter 6, a couple pages over. Look at verse 23 there, first half for right now. The wages of sin, all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We desperately do need to be rescued, because we have all rebelled, whether it's with big sins that we could name and list and say, oh, so embarrassed, or our what we would call, using quotation marks, small daily sins, thoughts and feelings and words and emotions. And we need to be rescued, because not only have we all rebelled, we will all be judged for our disobedience by the King of the universe. And in that judgment, we will all deserve death. We need to be rescued because we cannot stop rebelling. We could change some things. Can't change everything. We can change on the outside, but in the secret and intimacy of our own hearts, we see disobedience and rebellion and wickedness, things that we would be ashamed that anyone else knew that we thought or did or had done, and the guilt and the condemnation that we feel when we think about this reminds us of the mortal danger that awaits for us on the day of judgment. But even then, many times, we still don't want to be rescued. We try to better ourselves without surrendering. We try to become better people without always listening to God. We try to hide our sins away instead of extending our arms to God to be rescued. Why? Because after being rescued, the rest of our life belongs to the one who rescued us from our path of destruction. He brings us into his kingdom, into a correct relationship with him. He rescues us from ourselves or from temptation, from when we fall into temptation. He pulls us back. And from that point on, we know I have to submit, I have to surrender, I have to obey the one who gave me life, who rescued me. I can't be my own boss again. If I'm rescued by someone else, I belong to that someone else. That's the part we don't like. But even in the midst of our rebellion, even in the midst sometimes of our running away from rescue, God comes in, God enters, and God rescues us. God rescues his people from affliction, and he offers that same rescue to everyone, even those who are not his children yet. There's another story of rescue. Look at Psalms 107, and it shows this. Look, Psalms 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." So that's spoken after rescue happens. Verse 4, "Some wandered in desert waste." So now he's going to give some examples of God rescuing his people. "Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." Wandering in the desert, after being rescued from slavery in Egypt, God rescues them yet again. Verse 10, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in iron, for they had rebelled against the word of God, for the words of God, and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron." So now they're in difficulties, shadow of death, because of their rebellion against God, and they cry out to God. And what does God do? He rescues them again. The same thing that David experienced over and over again in his life. Same thing that was the repeated story of the people of Israel, this divine rescue God offers to you and I. There is a glorious reality for those who are in Christ, for those who have surrendered to Jesus by repenting and being baptized. He's rescued us. He's rescued us. He's rescued us by drawing us to himself. Look at John chapter 4, verse 44. Jesus said, "No one can come to me." So if you've come to Jesus, this has been true of you, "unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." He rescued us because his Spirit awoke in us the desire to seek him. And then when we repented and were baptized, he decisively rescued us from our death and our condemnation and our slavery. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. This is the rescue that we receive in Jesus. Let's just bask in this for a moment. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians, a couple pages over. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus rescues us. He rescues us from that eternal death by dying in our place and taking upon himself the punishment that we deserve, and then giving us forgiveness. He rescues us from our disobedience and our rebellion against God by covering us, when we enter into him, covering us with his perfection, so that in the eyes of God, we are now his beloved children. And since we're covered with Jesus as for perfection, in the eyes of God, we are just as perfect as Jesus is. He rescues us from our sinful nature by regenerating us, by making us be born again. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He rescues us when he saves us. And then his rescue doesn't stop. For those who are his children, doesn't stop just when he saves us. God continually rescues his children. He rescues us when we go astray, when we start to go astray. He makes us see. And if you're a Christian, we've experienced this, right? All of a sudden you realize he makes us have to feel conviction for our sin. And we see it and we say, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be thinking that. I shouldn't be saying that. I need to walk away from that. He rescues us. He pulls us back to himself. He rescues us when we're tempted. In that moment when it's just, you know that you're going to say the thing or do the thing and you're on the brink and it's going to explode out of you. He gives us a way of escape. And then he gives us the power so that we can resist through the Holy Spirit. He rescues us from ourselves by making us mature as we grow in him. By making us live like the new person that we are more and more, by making us be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus as we walk with him, by filling us with the fruits of his Spirit. In Christ, God rescues us from ourself and our rebellion, from condemnation, from the punishment that we deserve, from eternal death. He rescues us in his sovereignty. He decides to do that. He moves within us. He transforms us. He does the work. He rescues us because of his mercy. God rescues rebels against himself. And so that rescue is 100% grace. It's favor that we don't deserve. He rescues us with his power. He overcomes our rebellious heart. He makes us become new people. He changes our desires. He puts his Spirit in us. And because he rescues us, we can praise him in the words of David, alongside David. Look at Psalm 124 again. Psalms again, 124 for the first time. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us, and the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given up us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God rescues his children. So what should we do? We should accept that we need to be rescued. We should cry out to him to rescue us, and we should let him rescue us. That's accept and cry out and then let him rescue us. If you're not a Christian, here's what that looks like. You should accept that you do need to be rescued. You should in your mind reject the pride that says, I'm okay. I'm so much better than other people. Even some people who are Christians, I'm doing okay. You should recognize your need that just like everyone else, you've rebelled against the King of the universe. You've not surrendered to his mercy. So you should cry out to God. You should surrender to him. In that moment of repenting and being baptized, the cry of a clean conscience to God, you should cry out to God. You should let him rescue you without resisting his spirit anymore. The one who's been calling you and drawing you to himself. And if you're here listening to this, you've probably been feeling that over time. Surrender your heart to him and your will and all of your life for the future. And when you come to the point and you say, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to surrender. Tell someone, one of the men who's been up here, you can repent, be baptized. And if you're a Christian, what are we supposed to do? He said, well, I've been rescued. Yeah, but remember, he continually rescues us. So what should we do? We should continually accept our need of rescue, our continual need of rescue. We should reject the pride that comes up in our hearts and says, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a Christian. I'm a good Christian. I'm in church on Sunday. I really don't need this. I couldn't confess my sins. What would people think about me? We should learn to recognize our flesh and its evil desires. Even now, even if you've been a Christian for decades, we should confess our sin regularly. And then we should cry out to Jesus to rescue us. When we're tempted, in moments of temptation, when we feel that our flesh is dominating us, we should cry out to him and say, I need you to rescue me in this moment. And then we should let him rescue us by not resisting his spirit, by obeying whatever he tells us to do instantly, by following his guidance, by fleeing from sin. We should live like people who have been rescued, because that is what we are in Jesus, surrendered and submissive to the one who rescued us. So question, if you're a Christian, what's a step of obedience that God has asked from you that you still haven't taken? What's a persistent sin maybe that you have that you know that if I listen and I obey and I turn away from that, God's going to rescue me. Once again, from that, he's gonna rescue me. That's what we should do. Let him rescue us continually as we battle sin. And now, as we end, we're going to take communion together. We're going to remember Jesus' death, his blood, and his body, the bread that represents his body, the blood that represents his blood. And as we do that, what do we remember? Well, we remember how God rescues us, how he rescued us by giving his son in our place to die a horrible death. There's a reading I want us to do at the end. Go to Psalm 116. I'll say that again. I repeat it too many ones. Psalm 116. Let's let this psalm guide our hearts as we take the bread and take the cup after the prayers are spoken, and as we respond to God, as we meditate on what Jesus did, as we respond and we repent and we surrender once again and we thank him for the rescue that he's given us. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. God rescued us. So now together we remember that. And he continues to rescue us. So we thank him in this moment. And together in this moment, in the silence of our hearts, let's commit ourselves once again to live like the people who have been rescued that we are. God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for your love that we so much do not deserve. Thank you for seeking us out and drawing us to you. Thank you for rescuing us, making us your children, making us be brand new, filling us with your Spirit. And all of that comes at the cost of your Son on the cross, absorbing your wrath in our place. And so now as we take the bread and we take the cup, we remember the one who absorbed your wrath for us so we can be your children. We love you, God. Thank you for rescuing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.